This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is Orange Rim, enjoying 94.9 Multicultural Show with Hugh, Austin and Mo. Orange Ribbon represents peace and understanding in a multicultural LGBTIQ community. If you have comments on the program or would like to ask questions, you can contact us in the following ways. Facebook, Orange Ribbon on Joy 949, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au.
Being a parent is one of life's most rewarding and tough jobs. Today we chat to Belle, a mother of one, about her experiences of motherhood. Originally from the Philippines, we'll be exploring with her the process of finding a donor to become a mother, being a parent in a multicultural context, and support groups for same-sex parents.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Joy 94.9 Orange Ribbon with Austin and Mo here. And we're that was Mr. Know-It-All by Kelly Clarkson. And we're joined today by with our dear friend Belle, who's speaking to us about a range of issues, also around motherhood. Belle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mo.
It's great to have you. Now, first, I'd love to just, tell us a little bit, I guess, about your background and your journey to Australia.
Yep. My parents are both Filipino, so I'm originally from the Philippines, but I was actually born and raised in Bangkok, and that's actually where I spent, that's actually where I grew up until I went to school in the States for a few years. And then I came to Australia many years later because my partner at the time was Australian and migrated through the interdependency visas that Australia has for same-sex couples.
Fantastic. And what was that process like in terms of migrating to Australia? Was it as straightforward as she puts in your luggage and to Australia?
So I came here actually on a student visa initially, and then we had to apply for the interdependency visa, which took a few years. So we had to really sit down and prove what our relationship was, and they have certain criteria. They actually do have a group here in Melbourne, I can't remember what they're called, the Immigration Task Force, that assists same-sex couples who'd like to, who have partners from different countries to migrate into Australia.
Okay. Fantastic. And you say you grew up in Bangkok.
I did.
And a lot of people may go there, you know, on holidays and pass through. But what's it like actually growing up in Bangkok? I mean, do you have any sort of fond memories from that time there?
Great. It is my childhood memory. I lived maybe 4 or 5 years of my adult life in Bangkok. But I guess that is a lot of, that's where I call home. My parents have moved back to the Philippines now. And so when I do visit them, I do visit them in Manila. But Bangkok, I still consider home. And I still have very close friends there who I go and visit and who visits here often.
Okay, fantastic. And your decision to actually come to Australia, obviously that would have been a big one. It sounds like you're quite close to your family. Was how was that in terms of trying to decide whether to make that decision to come or to stay?
Well, I guess that was a decision that was made with my partner at the time. So my family didn't factor in because my parents were already in the Philippines at the time and I was in Bangkok. Yes, it was a big decision because it was also a matter of coming here on a student visa. How are we going to do this? What we're going to do if we can... What we weren't sure whether or not we were going to get the interdependency visa. So, of course, that would be a big factor in terms of also look long term and figuring out whether or not, you know, how we're going to do it. But yeah.
Fantastic. Well, we might go to a couple of sponsorships. And when we come back, we've got a couple more questions.
The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Mo, Austin and Hugh. And today we're talking to Belle from the Philippines.
Belle, now we were talking before about your, I guess, trip about your migration trip to Australia.
Yep.
And your childhood in Bangkok and now living in Australia. I want to ask you a little bit about coming out and what that experience was like and the process of that.
Well, with my family specifically, I guess with my family, it's been a long process. I've got my family's of a Catholic background, so I've got a priest who brother, and I've got another brother who's also gay, and through the last 30 some years, each of us has had to kind of slow come out to my parents, including my brother. My parents have not taken it that well. They love us. It's unconditional, but they don't like talking about the fact that my brother and I are both gay. It's still something that is an ongoing thing that we work through day to day, even though we live countries apart. My brothers all live in America and my parents live in the Philippines and me here. And I think that makes a lot of sense in terms of why we live away from them.
But the what about the priest brother? What's his take on it?
Actually, he's been very supportive of us. He's very conservative, but at the same time, I think he understands the choices that we've had to make for ourselves. And his role has been more of guiding my parents through it rather than supporting my other brother and myself.
When you said your parents didn't take it particularly well, is the reasoning for that mainly a cultural factor or is it religious? Like what?
Well, I can only speculate, but I think a lot of it is religiously based. I still think they have said pretty much that it is a sin. However, I think it's also that the whole parent side of just feeling that their child is living through something that's difficult or not mainstream and not understanding what it is to be in their shoes and having expectations for us as we were growing up and hoping that we were going to be, I don't know, certain way what they understood, you know, married Catholic church,
white
kids, grandkids, yeah. White picket fence. To be fair to them, they've never really had to be exposed to any of that because we do live in different countries, so they've never really had to be to kind of see how we live and see that we are, you know, doing well and happy and yeah. And coping just great.
And with your parents, when you told them, did you time it with your brother or was it staggered or, you know?
I was staggered. My brother came out to my parents first I really saw the aftermath of that. And after that happened, I really pulled back and I didn't come out to my parents for the longest time. And to be honest, I didn't really come out to my parents personally. My priest brother was the one who told my parents on behalf of me, which is very nice of him. Thank you.
So, I mean, more broadly, though, in Filipino culture, how has, you know, same-sex attraction been viewed? But also, how has it changed over time?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I don't really know. when I did visit the Philippines last year with my son, and that was a bit of a challenge. And I think they are, in my experience, it has been a bit difficult. And because my parents are very closeted about us, we've just gone with the flow with them and not have to challenge that, because we're only visiting for a week or two, so we don't really rock the boat. But, you know, I grew up in Bangkok, so it's a little bit... I think it's a little bit more acceptable there. Having said that, my friends in Bangkok were my childhood friends. I'm out to them, but I've never had to actually be out, live the gay life in Bangkok so much. But
it's interesting. I've been to Bangkok a few times, and I've always felt that the Thais have always been very open-minded, particularly with sexuality. And your parents lived there for a few years as well. Was that something that shaped their values in any ways? And sort of growing up or spending a few years there?
I think my parents are their value base is very much related to Catholicism. And I think that's, in terms of the homosexuality, I think that really guides, you know, whatever fear it is that they have.
But is Bangkok, is Catholicism strong in Bangkok?
No, they're a Buddhist country, so it's a little bit.
So do you think that might actually influence that as well? I mean, you know, I'm just hypothesizing in the sense of being in a minority country.
It could be, but I can't really say in terms of knowing exactly what guides their level of acceptance versus the Filipinos. I don't say that as a general term either, but...
And I guess in terms of contrasting society here in Australia with that in Thailand or even in the Philippines, what do you see as those key differences when it comes to the gay community?
Well, I actually came out when I was in school in the States, so that actually gave me... a space that made it a lot easier. Went to a very liberal school, and I think that was where I was able to explore my sexuality and without having fear of any kind of judgment or homophobic anything. That made it easy for me, and I think that's the same here. I can't say that. I'm not closeted here. I'm pretty out, but it's so much easier. I don't have to watch my P's and Q's, I guess, as much as I would at home in Bangkok, I mean.
Thank you so much for that. That was. We're going to take a quick break, some ads, and possibly even some music. So we'll be back after this. Oh, you're listening to Orange Ribbon.
Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Austin, Mo and Hugh. And our guest today is Belle, who originally comes from the Philippines.
That's right, and we just heard the song by Andane, and the song was Much Too Much. And Belle, we were just talking to you before about your coming out experience, and also with your family and the like. I want to ask you to move in another direction and ask you a little bit about motherhood and that wonderful experience as well. Why is being a mother important to you in particular?
It's a very funny question. I've always wanted to be a mom. I was just ever since I was little. That was something that I saw for myself, being a mother, a parent. And it's important to me. I think it's just I've always just thought it was one of those part of life, part of sharing, part of the important thing of having family. My family being growing up in Bangkok and being close and not having extended family. Family was very strong, and we were very close family. So I guess I always saw that for myself, having a family, and I do have one.
And how did it lead up to the point where you did end up saying, "Yep, I want a child"? How did you reach that sort of decision?
Well, I guess my partner and myself at the time, we it was something that we both wanted, and having moved or migrated here to Australia after a year, it was something that we discussed, and so we eventually just then did a bit of research, figure out how we were going to do it, who is going to have the baby, and that was pretty much how that got started.
It's an incredible thing to have a child, to have a miniature version of yourselves, I guess. And did you have any sort of initial reservations? Did you sort of think, oh, this is good? Or was like, you know what, this is it, time's gone, let's go?
Well, I guess it's a bit of both. There's always going to be some kind of reservation, and not necessarily of wanting to have a child and being a parent, but I guess there's always going to be a bit of fear because it's nothing that you've done before, or you don't know what it's going to be like or what your life's going to be, and you have this little baby, you know, that you've got to take care of, and you and your partners are completely responsible for their health and well-being, and I guess, you know, that's a mix of wonderment but fear as well, initially.
And I guess in the community or in broader society, there are wide-ranging views around same-sex parenting. And, you know, one of the most common arguments is that every child, you know, deserves to have a mother and a father. And, you know, do you have any thoughts around that sort of sentiment that may be held in society?
Well, only that I think in terms of my experience, I guess it is just a matter of having loving parents, whether it be two dads, two moms, a mother, mother and father, or just a father. It, as long as the child is safe, healthy, and in a loving family, I think that to me is the important thing in terms of the child's development and health and happiness.
Now, I've always wanted to ask a parent this question, so it's good that you're here. Every time I see someone that's just had a baby, they usually, like about 2 months later, they look like they're going crazy, and they usually have that lack of sleep thing. And it's, what's that like? Sort of just like the first 2 months of having a baby.
Well, I still have occasionally the lack of sleep. I think you just end up coping. I think there's a bit of adrenaline in there, and I think you're just caught up in what's going on in a little 2-month-old baby, and you know, I think the best thing is having good support around you when it comes to that, be it another partner or family or friends around you. And I guess, yeah, it is true, you don't get much sleep, and that's for a long time, not just for the initial newborn baby.
So it's not as easy as 2 months, Mo. So.
No, oh, wow. I thought there was a trial period, and clearly not.
No refunds there. I guess in terms of when you decide to have that child, what was the support like? Was everyone really supportive of it, or were there people who were, you know, questioning, you know, whether you should really, really have a child or not?
No, not in my experience. I didn't tell my parents that we decided to have a child. And the family and community around us were very supportive of that decision.
So when did your parents first find out that?
Just before my son was born, I told my parents, because I was already out to them by then, and they knew I was in a relationship. So then maybe a few months before he was born, I told my parents that baby was coming along.
Maybe we can explore a little bit later. I mean, their response, because that sounds interesting. But you're listening to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Austin, Mo and Hugh.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, this is Orange Ribbon, and you've just been listening to Kuda Jani. And the reason we're playing some Hindi music today is because in past shows when we have played the Hindi music, people have come up to us and said, oh, I really enjoyed that. And Jim last week actually said to me, I bought it myself on the internet. So there you are, Jim. That's especially for you today. Anyway, today's guest is Belle, who originally comes from the Philippines. And our presenters are Mo and Austin and myself, Hugh.
And that's also why you need community radio, because it always introduces us to great new music that
that's
you
right.
may not find elsewhere. Now, we were talking before about your reasons, you know, your reasons and for, I guess, becoming a mother and all that those things. But we ended before our last break about the question of how your parents took the news when they found out that you were a mum to be. What was that like?
Well, it was slightly complicated because my partner at the time was pregnant, so it wasn't me. I'm not the biological mother of my son, so it I think they didn't know what to make of it, and didn't understand what that meant. And I think initially they didn't necessarily see him as being part of the family, and that changed last year when I visited my parents with him. My parents, I think, are still coming to terms with that and what that means for our family.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's something we'll explore a little bit later in terms of the family and your extended family's involvement in your son's life. But I think a question that a lot of listeners will be very interested in hearing is, what is the process of actually finding a donor or even becoming a mother if you're in a same-sex relationship?
Well, in our case, what we did was we went on a forum, and because being Filipino and my partner is Caucasian or Australian, she was going to carry the baby, decided that we would find a Filipino donor. And so that's why we went specifically out to find a Filipino donor. And so went to a forum for that and found there was a couple of people, but we found the father of our child, and he we met with him. He lives in Sydney, so we met with him, had a chat with him, and got to know him for about a year before we actually started the whole process of trying to get pregnant. I guess we just it was much more casual in that sense.
And what's that like? I mean, you're meeting with someone and you really introduce them to say, we want you to have a massive part in our lives.
Yeah.
It's like probably the greatest job interview ever.
Well, because he kind of knew where we were coming from when we did meet. It's a very strange. It was a very strange process. Very strange meeting. But I think you just kind of get that feeling in the sense of who they are and what his I guess part of it is also wanting to understand why he's happy to do this and donate and, you know, be involved, because he is involved in terms of being known as the father, and my son does call him daddy and dad, so he knows him as that, but he doesn't have any legal responsibilities or decision making in terms of what choices are to be made for the child.
So what level of involvement does the father have in your son's life? And,
well, we see him probably regularly through the year. Because he lives in Sydney, it's a matter of either him coming here or us visiting him. And we Skype him occasionally and talk to him, and cards and presents and things like that. He's pretty happy to know. His family knows as well, his extended family. So being Filipino, his family's also in the Philippines, and they know that he has a son as well.
You mentioned that negotiation of how much involvement he has in your son's life. How has that worked out, without necessarily providing any legal advice that people and I want to make that disclaimer to any listeners that this isn't we're not providing that legal advice, but what is that process of saying, you know, this is how much you will be involved in?
Yeah, so prior to getting pregnant, we discussed this with him in terms of how much involvement he is, what our expectations are, what his expectations are, and because we both agreed on how much of involvement he was, which is what I've just explained, and he's happy with that. That was the agreement prior to actually even beginning any kind of process.
This is On Driven on Joy 94.9. We'll come back to Belle's story very soon. Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Mo, Austin and Hugh. And our guest today is Belle, who originally comes from the Philippines. Now, Belle, we've had two messages come in. One says, great discussion here. What role do you think identity has in your child's life, i.e. his heritage? And again, great show. And before you answer that, we'll go on to the next message. It's from Tristan. He says, hi there, I'm loving your show, listening to you with a glass of cold wine. I'm coming to join you, Tristan. Okay.
Now, so yes, I guess based on that question, what role does identity play in your child's life?
Well, I guess being half Filipino and half Australian, for me right now, I guess having one, it was important, the choice for me. So because as an Asian woman, I want him to be able to identify a little bit with having being part Filipino or having that kind of biological link in that sense, that identity. And right now, I think it is an important thing, but it's not necessarily the first or foremost thing. I think that's something I guess I'll just have to figure out as we go along, and trying to expose him more to meeting with my side of the family and other Asian, the Asian community here in Melbourne as well. And that includes the gay Asian community and being involved with that as well.
Fantastic. And you mentioned that you and your son went to the Philippines earlier this year, is that correct?
Yes.
And how did you relay that experience for him in terms of, did he understand that was his cultural roots?
No, not at all. I guess he was only two, so there wasn't much in terms of understanding what was going on. It was almost just like he was here. He didn't even really realize, I don't think, that he was in a different country entirely. But I think there it was just nice for my parents, for him to see my parents and my family, and for them to see me as a mother, and to see him. And I think that was the moment in which I realized that my parents have accepted him as part of the family, and see me as a parent, and him as their grandson.
What about as he gets older? He's going to be obviously opening his eyes to the world. He's going to gain understanding of many different things, and as well cultural norms.
Yep.
How do you anticipate you will be guiding him through things like understanding human sexuality, and also how do you think you'll... religion. I mean, would you raise him religious, or will you expose him to religions or not?
Phew.
Yeah. Answer at your leisure.
In terms of religion, I did get him baptized when we did go back to the Philippines. But I think spirituality is something that has been important for me as an individual. However, I'm not necessarily going to. Don't have a path in terms of how I want him to be raised, Catholic or going to church or having to do that. But I guess in terms of understanding who I am and where I come from, and that's going to be part of the process. Sexuality. Well, the sexuality, I think that would be any parent's. Be the same question for any parent, and I think you just kind of have to figure it out as you go along. But being a child with two mothers, I guess what I'm doing now is just being part of the community, that the Rainbow Family community, which is a same-sex couple family group where he meets other children who have two moms, two dads, and who are gay, who identify as being gay. And I think having that social network is going to be helpful in terms of how he sees and identify himself, and his family and his mothers and those around him, and his uncle and his father.
Yeah, I just want to backtrack a little bit about touching on the point of identity and that cultural link to being half Filipino and half Australian. Were your parents more receptive to that, given that... Do you think they took it a lot better because he was part Filipino, as opposed to if you brought back, just a Caucasian baby? Would that be different, do you think?
Maybe. I think it does. I think it might help. I think it also helped that he happens to have my surname. So I think that helped with my parents. But yeah, I'm guessing it does help. I think they're able to identify a bit more in terms of having a child that maybe is half Filipino.
Mm. Okay. I guess on the point of your family, we talked about that a little bit before, but what level of involvement does your family now have in your son's life?
Not so much, because they all live overseas. It's similar to his father in terms of Skyping, and they're planning on a visit, and hopefully they do get to visit. So it's just a matter of knowing who they are and keeping constant communication, but otherwise not that much involvement, really.
We've got a couple more questions for you before we wrap up the show as well. I want to ask you about we were talking, I guess, before about the legalities and all that stuff, and you'd mentioned in the last talk break that your son has your surname, but you're not the sort of biological mother per se.
Yep.
So how does it look on the birth certificate? How do they sort of structure that all out?
Oh, well, maybe a couple of years ago, I can't remember now, in Victoria, where in same-sex couples with two moms, I guess, the non-biological mom can be on the birth certificate. So I was lucky enough to be able to be on his birth certificate. But in terms of the name, that was just agreed upon with with his other mom, and we decided, and she was happy for him to have my surname. So that was how that choice and the decision that we made. And so, so it's pretty lucky that we get to be on birth certificates now.
Fantastic.
Great. And I understand, Belle, you're involved in quite a lot of activities in the community. Can you just let us know a bit about what you're involved in?
Oh, well, there's a couple of communities, groups that I'm involved in. I'm part of the Melbourne Spikers that you might hear about from time to time on Joy. And they have... it's a great outlet, being a parent, to go out and do some sporting activity, which I'm happy to do. And also, I'm also part of the Yellow Kitties, which is an Asian lesbian group. And that's been good also, and part of a way for him to also meet other gay Asian community members out there here in Melbourne.
Okay. We'll come back to Bill's story very soon. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9.
The fresh sounds of Joy 94.9.
On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Hugh, Mo and Austin. And our guest today is Belle, who originally comes from the Philippines. And we have another message for you, Belle. Yeah. Basically, it was the person whose name we don't know who sent the last message in saying they were enjoying the show. And they say that lovely answers. Hope the journey is fun.
Thank you.
No.
It is.
You're a great hit, Belle, with the Joy listeners. Just before those sponsorships, you were talking a bit about your involvement in the community, and you mentioned the Yellow Kitties.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Like, how often do you guys meet up, and what's your son's interaction with
you? Well, I haven't really been going to a lot of the Yellow Kitties activities recently, but they're a great little Asian lesbian group, and they meet, they have activities once a month, and you can look them up on Google them. I think the activities are out there, and you can join up and it ranges from just going out and having a good meal to miniature golf to, you know, going out dancing and stuff like that. But it's a great little group.
And you mentioned the Rainbow Families.
Yep.
What are they doing, and sort of how can people?
So the Rainbow Family Group is just a same-sex family group that support same-sex families. And in terms of what I do, they've got a play group which I attend with my son, and we get to meet other children and families who are in similar situations or having similar experiences, and it's a great way for them to meet other children and not be the only one with two mums or two dads, etc. So it's been good.
And how have you found the, I guess, as a same-sex parent, how has the community, I guess, what do you see the value of the community in being able to support you or in raising your son?
Well, I guess that group mainly has been really good in terms of just knowing you're not the only family out there. It's just a great outlet, and also means that in terms of long term, there will be friends made, and you know, for him and for myself, and you can share those experiences with them.
Now, this is sort of a little bit off that, but more broadly, very quickly, if you could summarize the biggest rewards and the biggest challenges of motherhood, what would they be?
I can summarize. It's great. It's hard, but at the end of the day, you look at this little child, and all you feel is unconditional love and hope for someone so little.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
That is On Driven for another week. Thanks to Belle for coming in and chatting to us today. Also, thanks to the program support this afternoon. Heath is our program support. I'd like to say a big thanks to Mo and Austin for producing today's show and getting Belle to come in and talk to us. Coming up next is the Sharp Hour show. So stay tuned. I'm sure you're getting ready for another great show on Joy 94.9. First, we've got the news with Byron, which is just coming up in 30 seconds. On Orange Room, we'll be back again at the same time, 4 o'clock next Saturday afternoon, with more insights into our GLBTIQ community here in Australia and around the world. From Austin, Mo and myself, bye-bye. Have a great week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.